The Brandon McMillan Podcast is brought to you by Lucy Pet Food. Why feed Lucy Pet Food? Because they specialize in gut health, which is vital to the overall health of your dog. I feed it to all my dogs because it works. Go check them out today at lucypetfood.com.
Do you ever notice that your pet's fur may have lost its shine and not feel as soft as it should? Well, I've been using this elite conditioning shampoo made by Equus on my pack here at the ranch, and it's made a huge difference. The shine and softness of their coats is completely noticeable. You wouldn't put damaging skin products on your own body, so why would you do that with your pet? Equus products are made with the finest quality ingredients available, which are human grade and not industrial grade. That's very important. And they're also backed by a 100% money-back guarantee. And who wants a discount? I love saying that. Visit Equus.com. That's EQYSS.com. And enter Brandon at checkout for a 15% discount. That's Equus.com. EQYSS.com. Check them out right now.
Hi, this is Sue Merlino, the audio producer for the Brandon McMillan Podcast. On today's show, Brandon takes some calls from his Instagram followers. He answers questions about how to stop your dog from licking, how to stop your dog from barking, and also what to do with a puppy that keeps nipping at your heels. So stay tuned.
Hey, hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Where are you calling from?
Colorado.
Oh, cool. So what's going on there?
This little boy here, he likes to bark a lot. He also has a really bad licking problem. Okay. And we don't know if it's stress or if he's just bored.
It could be any number of things. Licking could be boredom, could be stress, could be anxiety. There's a million things, reasons a dog could lick.
He also just licks everything that's in sight.
So is he licking the air?
No, he licks like anything in sight. Like he licks fabrics, and he wakes up in the middle of the night licking everything he can possibly lick.
I mean, it sounds like either boredom. It sounds the reason I ask if he's licking the air, because sometimes when they lick often when they lick the air, a lot of times that's because of some sort of pain they're dealing with. He's not licking the air. Typically, they just lick the fabric. Unless there's something on there specifically he's licking, it sounds like this is just basic boredom or just a mild level of anxiety.
Okay.
And I say mild level, and I say that because a lot of dogs will show basic anxiety by licking things, just licking random things. It's mild because they're not being destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it really that big of a deal, though?
Well, he's just, started licking in the past, week or two, and it's just, nonstop.
Okay, so listen, I'm just going to say this. I always recommend going to see a veterinarian whenever things change suddenly. So if this hasn't been a buildup for, a year or two, this hasn't been the status quo for this dog for the past, for the past couple of years. And you're saying it just started in the last week or two?
Yeah.
I always recommend taking a dog to the veterinarian whenever things like this just pop up, because there's a lot of things you can't see. When you take blood, I mean, that's a great place to start. You always take blood first and let the vet decide what to do from there. Because you're saying it just started out of nowhere. And how old is he?
He's, we think, 3. We got him in 2017, I believe.
And you just saw this? This just started the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. He's licked, but this is more than what he's done before.
Okay. So listen, here's where I want you to start, because there could be any number of reasons why he's doing this, but I always recommend when something changes drastically and suddenly, always take him to the vet. If you can't figure if it's not as plain as the nose on your face. Like, for example, if a dog just starts itching out of nowhere, check him for fleas, obviously. If you don't see fleas, if you see fleas, that's the problem. You don't see fleas, it's something else. Could be environmental allergies, it could be food allergies. There's a lot of reasons that we can't see with our own eyes. So this is why I want you to take him to the vet. Just start with blood and see what the vet recommends. Because if this just popped up out of nowhere, it's something beyond what a trainer. Remember, and this goes for everyone watching right now, I'm a trainer, so I can give you training tips and behavior tips. But when something goes beyond training and behavior, you know, this falls borderline behavior. But again, I would always recommend, no matter what, go to the vet, because vets they work alongside with trainers. When we can't solve the problem through training and behavior, the vet comes and they say, okay, listen, let's take blood and see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, that's what I would recommend.
Okay, and then his barking habits, like
when Mitt, hi there, mom.
Oh, hi. Are you tired too? She was out of breath when we first started talking.
Yeah.
She looked like she just ran the whole United States like Forrest Gump.
Right. As a mom, I'm always tired. But but real quick, we're in the midst of your book, and we watch your shows, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Truly enjoy how you do things and what you do. But he is a barker. He's leading out the three of them. He's definitely the one that is the one that reacts, and he's becoming a bit more reactive with other dogs. So from what I've read, that's probably him being a bit anxious and fearful around other dogs. Is that correct?
Well, there could be. Again, there's a lot of reasons why a dog can be reactive. Define reactive, because reactive comes in a lot of different forms with dogs. And also give me the level of 1 to 10 of the reactiveness.
When he's around a larger dog, he typically will, first of all, his ears go up, and then he will start to aggressively bark at that dog. He does it with our youngest rescue, who's the service dog that we've had trained. She's much bigger than him. He's 7 pounds, she's 50 pounds.
Well, that's the reason why he's a little Napoleon.
Right. And it's definitely a bit of Napoleon.
Is he a Chihuahua?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. There's your answer.
Yeah. It reminds us a lot when we read about Lulu.
He's like glue. He's the Velcro dog.
I've always said, you know, all the big dogs out there, the Shepherds, the Rotties, your Pits, your Akitas, they're lucky the Chihuahua is 9 pounds, because if it was a 100-pound dog, they wouldn't even be on the map for, like, tough dogs.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so we've got your shaker, we've done the penny bottle, we've looked at our consistency, and he is still very much the leader of the three of them. When he barks, everybody else follows.
He's okay. Got the heart of a lion.
Okay, so listen, I'm going to give you just a... Then you tried everything I was going to recommend. So I'm going to give you the age old technique that is, it works pretty well when it works. So all I want you to do is switch the feeding order. What I want you to do is I want you to feed him last. Okay.
Okay.
This is a very typical pack. This is a pack technique that I've always done, and it works very well, because typically in a pack, it doesn't matter what animal we're talking about, whether we're talking about a pride of lions, we're talking about any, whether it's a wolf, whether it's, we're talking any animal in the world when they have a congregation, a pack.
Right.
Whichever ones eat first are typically the top of the totem poles. As in the packs, whichever one eats second, third, fourth, there's their head in the totem pole. So what I want you to do, I just did this actually with a Pyrenees about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
The woman, she went through three trainers, you know, over the course of the last year and a half. And so all I told her to do was just change the feeding order, because she has a bunch of dogs in her house, and they're all small dogs. Okay. And she has one giant Pyrenees. He's 150 pounds.
Right.
And he's like, he's getting real testy with the dachshunds, and she has, you know, all her dogs are like, you know, 10 to like 15 pounds, dachshunds, chihuahuas, right, little terriers. And here comes this big Pyrenees, like a grizzly bear. And he started puffing his chest out. And he started saying, like, I know my size now. There comes the day where dogs, they know their size, or they start testing the waters. And so, such is the case, it sounds like with your little guy here. So what I had them do is I said, listen, just change the feeding order. Because it sounds like the trainers have done everything else. So the only thing I can offer you at this point, change the feeding order. She changed it. And within literally 48 hours, she already saw the difference. So what I want you to do is feed your other dogs first. Uh-huh. And then I want you to feed this dog last. And very important, I want you to understand this. I want you to make sure that your what's his name again? The little cocky one?
Milo.
Milo. Okay. That's a wimpy little name to be a cocky dog.
here he is.
Looks like he has a little terrier in him too, huh?
Yeah.
Here. So you're dealing with the two toughest small dogs on the planet, the Chihuahua and the Terrier.
Yeah, and he has the poodle on his head.
Yeah, so what I want you to do is I want you to make sure you feed him in front of the other dogs. So what's gonna happen here, he's gonna watch them eat. And then when they're done, then you're gonna feed him. Now make sure, obviously, don't let him hold him on a leash. Uh-huh. I don't want a fight to break out. But I want him to see the other dogs eat and then feed him last. And let me know how that goes, because like I said, nothing is 100% in training. Always remember that.
Right.
You try techniques, and where one technique fails, another one prevails. That's always the rule.
Okay.
So. If, you know, like I said, it's not, I'm not saying this is the end all of techniques, but what I am saying is when it works very well. And I recommend this technique probably about 20, 30 times a year. And I'd say their success rate is, it's 50-50.
Okay.
But like I said, I just had success 2 weeks ago when I recommended it to the lady with the Pyrenees. So,
excellent.
And she was about to get rid of him. She wanted to rehome him. And it's really tough to rehome an aggressive Pyrenees.
Right. Right.
So.
Excellent. <There's the licking. laughs>
All right. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate your help.
All right. Have a good day. What's up?
I was wondering how you make a dog stop walking, like in the car and stuff.
In the car?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, is your dog territorial? It sounds like they are.
Yeah.
How? What kind of dog is it?
It's a Jack Russell Rat Terrier.
Ooh. Okay. Let me just tell you a little story about the Jack Russell. Jack Russells are of all the small dogs, they are the biggest ones. They have a lot of attitude. They are feisty and they're very, very protective. And when they get going, it's really tough to stop them. Let's just run through a few things. First of all, has your dog ever had basic training?
Yes. Sit down, stay, and come.
Okay. So. On a level of 1 to 10 with all those commands, what would you say? 1 being terrible, 10 being great. Let's just put me on the map with all those commands. How well is he trained? Because this makes a big in the long run of how well they listen to certain commands. 5. Okay. I always recommend whenever you're training a dog, just basic obedience. At least get their basics up to a 7. Okay. What this does, basic obedience is the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s of a dog's life. Think of it as kindergarten through 12th grade, just basic grade school. Yeah. And the reason we teach obedience, because it gives us all the basic manners we need for a dog doing bad behaviors. So how good is his no command?
Not that good.
Okay. You really want to start there, because what you want to do is you want to make sure there's no command. The no can transfer over not only to stopping and barking, but you can also bridge it over to a quiet. If you notice, a no and a quiet command is almost trained the exact same way, but your voice is pretty much being used the exact same way. You're just doing it for different reasons.
Yeah.
So have you tried a penny bottle?
No, sir.
Okay, so all I want you to do is take a plastic bottle and put 20 pennies in it. Are you where are you calling from, by the way?
My room.
What's that?
Texas.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So hello Texas, by the way. I always say hi to people in their state. So what I want you to do is take just 20 pennies, put it in a plastic water bottle, and all you gotta do is say the word quiet, give it a shake really quick. The sound is always a great trainer, especially when it comes to dogs like barking, because you have to remember when a dog barks and they get into a frenzy, their peripheral vision, they're targeting on something, and their peripheral vision starts going away, and their vision and hearing and everything, it starts targeting on one thing. So you just saying the word no sometimes is not good enough. So that's why I always like a penny bottle, because it the sound cuts through their territorial barking. So yeah. This is why I always recommend the penny bottle. I recommend the penny bottle to everybody. And I know it sounds like a broken record half the time, but the reason I recommend it for two reasons. Number one, it works well. And number two, it's cheap. It's 20 cents. So 20 cents is a pretty good price.
Yeah.
So that's where I would start. Now, also remember though, always remember the dog you have. You have a Jack Russell Terrier. Yes. Jack Russells, they are feisty. They love a good, like, you know, like a little bark fest. They're territorial. So you have to always remember the animal you have. So I'm not saying you can't stop it, but if you're having a trouble, just remember you have a Jack Russell Terrier. I've trained dozens of Jack Russells, probably no more than that, probably like 50 or 60. And they're always giving me a hard time. That's a lot of dog in a little body.
Yes.
So I always remember the dog that I have on the leash, and I always have to remember to be reasonable with that specific breed or breed mix. Yes. So for example, if I have a Maltese, I don't even bother trying to stop a Maltese from barking. That is an alarm dog. They were bred to bark. Even if you talk to a Maltese breeder, they say good luck with that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you try, and then if you fail, you have to always remember the breed you have or the breed type. So
yeah.
if you're failing at stopping and barking, don't look at it as a failure. Just remember the breed you have. Sometimes you have to accept our dogs for who they are. There are certain things that are very unacceptable, like aggression, you know, stuff like that. But if he's got if he's got an excessive barking habit and you're having trouble stopping it, that's unfortunately sometimes we have to deal with the breeds that we're working with, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you can't do it. What I am saying is Jack Russells are very tough that way. They're very headstrong, and you're talking it's like a 100-pound dog in a 13-pound body. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Stay cool in Texas. Okay. Hi.
How are you?
So who's Booger?
So Booger's our little super mutt. Hold on a second.
Thank God it's not your real name.
There she is.
Okay, good. I thought you were about to say your name's Booger.
No, God, I wish. No. That's our little super mutt.
Where are you guys calling from?
We're calling from New York, from Brooklyn.
Oh, cool. Okay, we're in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Oh, good. How's the, you guys are finally over the curve, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's still fairly scary here, but yeah, for the most part, we're okay.
Yeah,
well, good. You know, my girlfriend, this is C, by the way, my girlfriend's been working from home, and unfortunately, I still have to go into the office, but we're keeping safe, and, you know.
Hey, just be happy you got a job, brother.
No kidding.
Yeah. So what's going on there? Tell me about Booger.
Well, first of all, I want to say thanks so much for your masterclass. It's amazing. It's been helping us so much. Our main issue with Booger, she's great. She's sweet. We've had her for about 6 weeks, a little over 6 weeks. We got her when she was 8 weeks old. She's a heeler mix. She 28% heeler, 18% golden retriever, and about 13% pit bull. And a couple other things. Our main problem is she nips a lot. It's not aggressive nipping, but the stronger she's getting, it's starting to hurt a lot more. And I know she's a herding dog, so
bingo.
You know, we're wondering, you know, we've tried your,
remote control hold.
Yeah, your remote control hold method.
Yeah. And it's not going to work on a heeler.
Oh.
Oh, great.
Okay. So listen, heelers are known for this. Heelers are very, they're very well known for this. Mm-hmm. The way heelers hurt is they nip at the heels.
Right.
Hence the word heeler.
Mm-hmm.
So, every time somebody says they have a dog that nips typically from the at the back of our legs or the back of our heels, I know right away it's a heeler, it's a Queensland. And so, how old is the dog?
She's 15 weeks.
Okay, so she's very young.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, we tried to work with her on bite inhibition earlier on.
Yep.
And actually, she doesn't nip at our heels that often. It's when she's playing, which I get puppies play, is she bites our hands. And she gets really excited, and she forgets about, like, being gentle.
Yeah. Everyone's asking right now on the thread, what's a heeler? A heeler's a herding dog, everyone. It's either named the Australian Cattle Dog or the Queensland Heeler. There's all kinds of names. But Google it. You'll recognize it if you see it. They're hard to explain. Yeah. Very smart dogs, though. Extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fact she's 15 weeks, this is going to be a lot easier than I thought. But remember, just remember that it's in the genetics of this dog to nip. What I want you to do, this is a very classic way that actually has typically all the advice I give, by the way, it's high percentage. I don't bother giving advice that's like it works on 1% of dogs. I typically give advice that's the top three techniques that that's the high percentage success rate. Mm-hmm. What I like to do, especially when they're this young, I like to actually do the classic technique of when they nip at you. What I want you to do is I want you to make a loud sound with your voice. Just go out like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. And what I want you to do is with your voice, almost make a startling sound. And typically what that does, it backs them off. It's just that simple.
We did that.
And what happened?
The remote control hold, and it just excites her even more. And she's like, oh, so we're playing now. And then she gets even crazier.
Okay, so hold on. Put a leash on her. Do you put a leash on her when you're doing this?
No.
Okay,
no.
So here's what I want you to do. This is reverse psychology. I want you to do the same technique I just said. Put a harness on her. She's too young for a collar right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put a harness on her. And I want you to hold her. And now what happens, 9 times out of 10, when these dogs do the nipping, or especially when they're young, because almost all dogs nip when they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns into a bad habit. It eventually just keeps going until it becomes a bad habit if you don't nip in the bud right now.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is actually put a leash on her. Do what's called a drag leash, okay? We're going to do a two-step training process right now. You're going to do what's known as a drag leash. A drag leash is exactly what it sounds like. Put a leash on her harness and let her just drag it around. Now, when she gets frisky and gets in the mood and starts nipping, what I want you to do is grab the leash and pull her into you. What this is going to do, it's reverse psychology. Typically, when they nip, they want to nip and they back off. You ever notice that? They play this little cat and mouse game?
Yes.
What you want to do is you want to pull her into you. It's going to make the game not so fun anymore.
Hmm.
I love reverse psychology with dogs doing problems like this because it's very simple. It's very extremely effective.
Okay.
And it's usually quick, and they learn their lesson right there. Because once you change the game on them, once they realize they can't run away, now it's not so fun anymore.
Hmm.
And do the same thing, though. If they nip at you, out, pull her in, hold her there. Sorry, I'm trying to show you my hand.
Yeah.
I'm cut off the screen. Pull her in, offer your hand again. If she nips, out, boom, pull her in tighter. And just hold her there.
Okay.
It's a little bit like the remote control technique, because again, it's reverse psychology. We're giving her something that she doesn't want now.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a different way to do it. So let her, right now, because she's so young, she's not going to learn a heel command. The reason why I'm recommending you do the drag leash is because we're going to teach her two things. Number one, we're going to teach her the basic fundamentals of the leash. Mm-hmm. And number two, we're going to stop the nipping. So all you're going to do is put the leash on her, make it like a, just make it like a 4-foot leash. Take a thin, like little chihuahua leash, I call them. Cut the last 2 feet off, bond the ends. And if they start chewing it, just spray a little lemon, you know, even some bitter apple, just something to stop the chewing. And then trust me, it's gonna happen when you let them drag this thing around all day.
Yeah.
And by the way, the drag leash, always done observed or when you're home. Don't leave the house and let her drag it around, because she can get that thing wrapped around things if not herself. So just make sure it's when you're home and it's observed. But you're going to teach her the basic fundamentals of a leash too, because what you're going to do is every once in a while, you got to pick up the leash, put a little pressure, because the dogs have to understand, they have to feel the pressure of the leash. You know, they have to understand the leash is a guide. It swings them left and right. So on top of the basic leash fundamentals, we're also going to teach, is it her or him?
Her.
It's her. Sorry. We're going to teach her to stop nipping at the same time. Remember, when she starts nipping, pull her into you. Okay. Change the game. Whatever their game is, always remember that when a dog has a bad habit like this, you always want to keep an eye from a trainer mind. You always want to look at their patterns, what they do, and then you want to actually reverse their pattern. So if she likes to nip and back off, what mm-hmm. I want to do is let her nip and pull her in. Okay. And what that does, it changes her mindset. Like, whoa, I can't get away now. It's not mm-hmm. so fun anymore. And typically, okay. like I said, this is a very high success technique I'm giving you.
Okay.
What do you do in the instances where her nipping's not like, oh, I'm biting you and then I'm backing off? But a lot of times with me is she's snapping at me and continuously coming at me and not backing off, or biting my hands and shaking her head.
Watch what happens when you put a leash on her and pull her into you.
Okay. So it'll work for
that.
It's
still, even if she's not backing off, she's still nipping you on her terms. If you change the game by simply putting a leash on her and pulling her into you now, it's not so fun anymore. Now, on top of this, I'm going to add one more element in here. You also have to teach her a no in this process.
Okay.
So she has to hear the word no, because you can't just, the reverse psychology makes it not so fun anymore, but you also have to give her a no command, because once she hears the no command, she's going to connect it. Oh, I know that word no. That means stop doing what I'm doing. And uh-huh. suddenly she's like, oh, what am I doing wrong? Oh, that's right. I'm nipping here. They make the connection, but what you want to do is you want to do the reverse psychology. Mm-hmm. And you want to connect it with a no command. So there's three things I'm going to have you do there.
Okay.
And it's going to be three separate things she's technically learning that's yeah. all going to form as one technique.
So she'll nip, we'll say ouch, we'll pull her in, and then we say no?
Yes. Because you want to make sure she understands the no command after it all. Now, listen, it's always has she learned the no command yet?
No.
She hears it a lot.
Okay, it's on the master class.
No, she has it.
It's on the master class. It's very simple. A dog at that age can definitely learn the no. There's a lot of techniques. I always say you can't, like with basic obedience, you can't teach the dog a lot of basics when they're 15 weeks old. They're just a little too young. Give her another month, maybe 2 months. She's going to be ready to learn everything. But right now, she can. Any dog at almost any age can learn the no command, because they understand there's basically – It's the age old, like, you know, the rat with the cheese. It went for the cheese over here and it got buzzed, and then went for the cheese over here and didn't get buzzed. Any animal can learn, okay, this one was much easier. So right. they can learn the no command. They learn the no command basically just means stop doing what you're doing. It's in the master class. I forget what chapter it is. Don't look at me. I just filmed it. I haven't even watched it.
I was there
for the edit.
Yeah, we're actually working through the masterclass, and we're using your example of teaching them to get one thing out of 10 before moving on to the next thing. So she's got sit really, really well, which we use through your masterclass. She's probably at a 5 or 6 out of 10 with the down.
Okay, well, but listen, again, she's a little too young, so don't push her on the down right now.
Yeah,
don't push her. A sit is fine. Mm-hmm. A down, you don't want to push her mind too much, but a no command, push her mind too much. But a no command, that's the first thing you want to teach, especially a puppy. Especially a puppy. And remember what I said in the master class. The sit, the reason why I like teaching sit first, number one, it's very easy. And number two, it's a transition command.
Right.
Transition command means you can go from the sit, you can go to the down, you can go to the stay, you can go to the no. So a sit is a really good position to transition to all the other commands. So yeah, so anyway, give it a try. Like I said, put the leash on, reverse psychology, teach her the no in the process. It's going to be a little bit of a shuffle here.
Yeah.
But remember, reverse psychology, if it's a bad habit, move the goalposts.
Okay.
Remember, you guys are much taller than her.
Yes,
you weigh more, you have thumbs, you have a little bit of advantage here.
Yeah.
So all you want to do is look what their bad habits are, and then just tweak it to where, okay, I'm gonna make the bad habit not so fun by doing exactly opposite of what she wants. So if she's gonna nip, boom, I'm gonna pull her in. Now she can't get away.
Yeah.
Give her the no command. Say the word ouch, give her a no. There's a lot of ways to do this.
Amazing. So. All right. Thanks for everything
you so
you're
much.
Doing, Brandon.
Yeah. Be safe out there, guys.
Take care.
All right. That does it. It's past 5 o'clock California time, and I've got some dogs in the living room right now. they're probably trying to open the fridge at this point. So you heard what everyone said on here. They're watching the masterclass. If you guys haven't done so, check my masterclass out at masterclass.com/McMillan, or just go to masterclass.com and just search for my name. It is doing very well. It's a very, very good launch they had on there. So check it out. It's full training tutorial videos on everything from obedience to typical house issues. So go check it out, masterclass.com. Also, my book, you all know, if you haven't got already, Lucky Dog Lessons, Train Your Dog in 7 Days, available at Amazon. And what else? Oh, yeah. So a lot of you didn't know this, but I've got a serious radio show now. So a lot of people have been finding out, and I really haven't advertised it because we're just kind of getting our bearings about the show. But the show is a little different. I'll just warn you. I do it with a comedian, very good friend of mine. Her name is Jess May Peluso, and she is a raunchy, raunchy comedian. So don't worry. I'm not the one cussing in there. I'm still G-rated, or I'm PG-15. But what she does, we're kind of a perfect little duo. I give professional, you know, training advice, and I'm commenting on current event stories about animal stories, and all she's doing the whole time is just taking the piss out of it. She's just commenting as comedians do. So, a lot of people that have been calling in the show, they're just shocked that I'm actually on a show like this. It's kind of a funny comedy show that basically we talk about real animal stories and I give real animal advice, but she's the comedian that always chimes in. So go check it out. It's the show's called Wild Things. It's on Radio Andy 102. That's channel 102 on Sirius XM. So Wild Things, it's every Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. And that's, 2 p.m. Eastern time. So Wild Things, Radio Andy 102, every Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Man, that was a mouthful. Okay, I'm out of here, guys. I hear the dogs opening the fridge right now, and I think they got the bottom drawer open where the meats and cheeses are. So, all right, have a good weekend, everyone, and I will see you when I see you.